Our reading is found today in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. You may be seated.
As we come to this time of prayer, I want to praise the Lord for our church and the love and the fellowship that we share. I want to thank and praise the Lord for the youth and their mission trip to Idaho. You're going to hear a little bit about that later from Seth. And then I want to pray for Minnehaha Academy. If you don't know, Minnehaha Academy is a covenant school in the Twin Cities, and they had a tragedy, an explosion, a gas leak explosion, and two people lost their life, and some people are in the hospital in critical condition. So we want to pray for them. We want to continue to pray for Ashley and Jarrett Koschick, for Jeanette and Jim, for Skip, and then we want to pray for the Learning Tree, as that will be picking up, and you'll hear more about that or see more about that. So let's go into time of prayer. Holy Father, we thank you, we praise you. We thank you for the fellowship, the family of God, that we get to share together Jesus Christ and the impact he can have on each of our lives. I'd pray that that would continue to be the case. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for Seth and the youth leaders and the youth and the trip they had to Boise, Idaho, and the work they did there. And thank you for what you accomplished in and through them, Lord. Thank you for the safety that they received in their travels. And Lord, this morning we lift up Minnehaha Academy, who suffered this great tragedy. We pray for the families that are reeling in the loss of loved ones. We pray for those that are in critical condition in the hospital. Lord, we pray for the school as they will be reeling and dealing with all of this, as school will be starting very, very soon. Lord, you have an ability to take tragedy and turn it in for good, and we would ask that would be the case for Minnehaha Academy. And Lord, we have loved ones in our own midst that are going through tough times. We pray for Ashley and Jarrett Koschick. We pray for the treatment that Ashley needs to receive. We pray for the baby that Ashley is carrying at this time. We would pray for your grace to abound in their lives as they deal with all of this at one time, Lord. We thank you that Jeanette had her surgery. We pray for healing and recovery and the future doctor appointments. We would pray for wisdom from above for the doctors. We pray for Skip. We pray for continued recovery and healing from his health concerns. And Lord, as school is close and coming, as we get the opportunity to bless families with Learning Tree, we would pray that you would use these backpacks to further the gospel, Lord. May it not just be a gift they expect that they should receive, but that they would see that it is a gift given in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, now as we look at your word, help us to understand what it means so that we can be people that are thankful and prayerful. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, every once in a while, the pastor up front will give a sermon that is so simple and so, well, of course, that's what we should be doing, that you're going to go, why did he preach that? Well, this is one of those messages. And the reason why is because, let's be honest, we don't always do what we know we should do. And this is a challenge this morning, to do what we know we should do. We're in this series called Be Wise, and we're going to look at thanksgiving and prayer. A wise person is a thankful person. I think we can agree with that. A wise person is a prayerful person. I think we can all agree with that. So what does that mean then for us as followers of Jesus Christ? I don't know about you, but when I receive a card or a letter and it's just a letter of thanks or it's a letter of encouragement, it really means a lot to me. And it doesn't have to be long. It can be just a little short sentence or anything. And I'm not asking for these now, just so you know. But they make all the difference sometimes, just to know that I'm appreciated. And I'm sure that's the same for you too. And then on the same hand, knowing that I'm being prayed for makes a lot of difference. And I will be asking you to pray for me. Please do. I don't need the cards or letters, but I do need your prayers, as we all do. We all need those. And so I just want you to know, I so appreciate the many prayers that my family and I receive, and I want to say thank you for that, because I can't write you all a card or a letter to say thank you. This morning, in this series on wisdom, I'm shifting gears, because I'm going to something extremely practical. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul and how he felt about the church of Philippi, and we're going to look at how that has to do with wisdom and discernment. If you picked up on it as the reading of the scripture, you saw that part of the prayer that Paul prayed for the church of Philippi was that they would have discernment, wisdom. And I want to challenge you that that's what you can do for another person. You can pray for wisdom and discernment for another person. The Apostle Paul, in writing this short letter to the church of Philippi, he starts off really with two things: thanksgiving and prayer. How often? He does it every time he thinks of them. And what's his attitude? It's an attitude of joy about them. And why does he pray? Because the people of Philippi have been such a great blessing to him. And what does he pray for them? That God's work would be completed in them, and that they may be filled with love, that they would have wisdom to discern what is best, and that their lives would produce a fruit of righteousness. Now imagine what would happen, what could happen, if that was our prayer for one another. Without question, I think it could revolutionize the body, the fellowship, the family of God. And I'm going to assume that that's something we all want. We want what the Apostle Paul prayed for the church of Philippi. So we have to ask ourselves a couple of questions, personal questions. How often do we tell another person, thank you? Thank you for. Thank you. You know, the lepers, the 10 lepers that Jesus healed, if you remember, one returned to say thank you. So we have a culture of thanklessness. And I think the culture of the church should be a culture of thankfulness. Don't you? Let's not be the 90% that don't say thank you. Let's be the 10% that says thank you to Jesus and to one another. The other question that we have to ask is, how often do we pray a blessing for one another? We often say, when someone comes up to us, for example, Milt comes up to me and he says, could you pray for? And we all will say yes. But we have a tendency to say yes and forget, don't we? We all can confess that we've said, yes, I'll pray for you, and then we haven't. I think we can admit that. I would encourage us to actually say yes and pray right then. You know, obviously, if it's in the middle of the grocery store and you're checking out, it might not be. But can you wait around for 2 minutes and say, Milt, can I pray for you right now? And if it's in a public area, it might be a short prayer. Lord, I pray for Milt, and I pray that you would touch his body. He's really hurting. His back is hurting right now. I don't know if that's true. Is it? Okay. See? Prayer has been answered. But you know what I mean. You catch the drift. So what I want you to do right now is let God give you a name. Just, he's going to give you a name. You got 10, 15 seconds. I want you to take that name and write it on a sheet of paper. Whatever name he gave you. And this is where it gets really simple and practical. You're going to pray thanksgiving for them. You're going to pray for God to continue to work in them. You're going to pray that they will be filled with God's love. You're going to pray that they would have wisdom. You're going to pray for the fruit of righteousness in their life. So really, you're covering five areas. Thanksgiving, God's filling, love, wisdom, and righteousness. You're going to pray for God's thanksgiving for them, or your thanksgiving for them, God's filling, love, wisdom, and righteousness. Now think about that. Aaron, don't mean to pick on you, but I do. How does that make you feel that you know that somebody here is going to pray that for you? That they're going to pray for God to continue to do his work in you, and you're going to have God's love, wisdom, and that God will produce a fruit of righteousness in your life. I think we all want that, don't we? We all want that to take place in our life. Now we're going to expand that list. You have at least one person on your list. What if we extended our prayer to an individual that does not come to our mind at first? What if we started to pray for the individual that in our fellowship here or in our Christian community would be left out, would be ignored, or skipped over? You remember when you were in elementary and you played kickball, and so-and-so was captain, and another person was picked to be captain, and names were being picked. It just so happened that there always was that one kid that seemed to be left out. Maybe that was you, even. And it was kind of cruel, wasn't it, for that one kid that got left out or was the last one picked. And unfortunately, I think sometimes that happens in the church, that there is somebody that gets left out. What if we prayed this prayer for them? What if we prayed that they would, that we first of all thank God for them, and that God would fill them with love, wisdom, and righteousness? Wouldn't that be powerful? And a while back, when I was speaking to the middle schoolers at youth group, I shared this story, and it's a powerful story. It's called Shy's Boys. It's found in the book Unselfish, and it's Love Thy Neighbor as Thy Selfie. It's a coffee table book, and it has all these stories about being unselfish and loving people. It's called Shy's Boys, and it's written from the mother's perspective. I'll tell you a little bit about my daughter, Shy. When she was born, we were told she had CMV. I won't try to say the medical name for that. which would take her life within 2 weeks. She ended up testing negative. Then we were told she had a brain disease and would never walk or talk. When she was 9 months old, the doctor did have to reconstruct her skull, but Shai did end up both walking and talking. Many miracles took place in her life. Shai's neurosurgeon gave us the best advice anyone could ever give, and that was to never treat her any different than we treated our boys. So we have lived by that. Unfortunately, not everyone treated her like we did. Shai was the victim of bullying. During her sophomore year of high school, she was pushed, called names, and treated very cruelly. She would come home from school in tears. She had lost the gleam in her eye. Not knowing where to turn, I finally went to the starting quarterback of the football team, Carson Jones. He had once escorted Shai to the Special Olympics. I prayed he could help. And the rest is history. Carson took Shai as one of the group, and his teammates followed. She ate lunch with them at the popular kids' table. They made sure they walked with her to class. And as you can imagine, with football players constantly surrounding her, Shai was no longer the victim of bullying. These boys were angels in disguise. They changed Shai's life forever. And ironically, she changed theirs too. To make the story even better, these football players didn't even tell anyone what they were doing. Carson's mother did not find out about what he had done until she learned that the Arizona State Legislature was going to honor Carson and some of his teammates for their actions. And then these are the words from Shai. My boys saved me, and I didn't get hurt again. I love my boys, and they love me. They're not mean to me, and others are not mean to me because of them. I cheered for them at all of their games, and they cheered for me in my Olympics. They are my boys. What if that's how we approached the least of these? Those people that get left out. And I personally believe Jesus would prioritize the left out, the misfit. And thank God he does. Because we are misfits too. So what I want you to do now is in 10, 15 seconds, think of a name of someone that may be left out. Or maybe just doesn't get included very often. I want you to write down their name. And you're going to pray thanksgiving that God would fill them with himself, love, wisdom, and righteousness. The same prayer Paul prayed for the church of Philippi. So now you have at least two names that you're going to pray for. We're going to add a third name. I want you to consider who you want to pray for that you really have a problem with. Someone you don't like. I know we're the church. We're not supposed to have problems with people. But we are humans, and so we struggle with people, don't we? And so I want you to write down that name. Take the 10 to 15 seconds and write down that name. You're going to pray thanksgiving for them. You're going to pray God's filling, God's love, wisdom, and righteousness for them. By now you have three people on that list. What do you think God can, what God will do if you take the next month to pray for them? These three people on your list. The first name that came to your mind, the person that maybe gets left out, and the person you kind of struggle to like. I think two things will happen. This person will be blessed, and you will be changed. Not a bad thing. Jesus gave us what is called the Great Commandment. In Matthew 22, 34 through 40, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to them, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" I would say that our lives, if we live this, can be so profound and impactful. In fact, Jesus said, "How do people know that people are followers of Jesus Christ?" And it wasn't all the things that a lot of times we pretend that we think make us a Christian. It was love. In John 13, 34 through 35, it says, "A new commandment I give to you," which is actually an old commandment, "that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I would say that if we can learn to really pray for one another, it'll teach us to really love one another. I would say that if we could do this, it would surprise us. And so really what I'm offering you is this challenge, that for the next month, you take those three people and you say a prayer, a simple prayer for them. And I offer you, as a bookmark that Melanie made for me, that hopefully it's still in your bulletin and not, you know, laying on the floor. We'll probably find some on Monday, by the way. So, but take this bookmark and pray for these three people. If you want, you can pray for four, five, or any number you want. But you're going to pray this prayer: "Holy Father, I'm thankful for John Smith, because John Smith really takes time to listen to me." I pray that John Smith will continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that your love will become more and more evident in John Smith's life. I pray that you will give John Smith wisdom from above so that he can make wise choices. I pray that you will produce the fruit of righteousness in John Smith's life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to encourage you to specifically pray their name. Why? Because this will drive home your commitment to them and prevent you from doing what a lot of us do: pray generic prayers. You know, "God, just cover everyone." No, pray specifically, because it does a couple things. It makes that person more real to us, and it draws us closer to them. Of course, you have the freedom to expound your prayers. You don't have to stay on the specific prayer. This is a suggested prayer. It's following the structure of the Apostle Paul's prayer for the church of Philippi. This will guarantee that you pray specifically in these five areas. Don't be surprised, though, when God adds more to it, because God will start saying, "Hey, pray for them about this." Don't be surprised that God might add more people to your list. Don't be surprised that you choose to pray more than 30 days for them. That is a sign that God is changing you as much as he is blessing the other person. Like I said at the beginning of this message, this morning is a very practical, very simple sermon. Sometimes we need simple, because when something's so simple, we forget to do it. Did you know that on Wednesday, only 13% of a congregation can tell you what the pastor has preached? Pretty humbling. We mostly forget. I hope that none of us forget, at least for the next 30 days, because we're practicing what I am trying to preach. Because you're going to live and pray for three people, which I want to pray for you at this time as a church. So let's pray. Holy Father, I'm thankful for the Evangelical Covenant Church because of their generosity, their love, their prayers, their volunteerism, their concern for one another, and so many more things. I pray that the Evangelical Covenant Church will continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that your love will become more and more evident in their lives. I pray that you will give the Evangelical Covenant Church wisdom from above so that they can make wise choices. I pray that they will produce, that you will produce a fruit of righteousness in our church's life. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.